May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
As I begin this sermon, I want to especially greet those who may later listen to this sermon at home, and to say that though you are not with us, you are very much part of our fellowship. Peace be with you. During our services over the last few weeks, sharing the peace has been a very different experience. We are no longer able to shake hands or kiss or hug each other. We must simply bow or smile or acknowledge one another in some other way as we say, peace be with you. However, although we cannot share the peace in our customary ways, we haven't left this element out of our services because we know it's important to share the peace with one another, however we do it. And from now on, we will need to be sharing the peace by phone or by email. We all need peace, particularly at the moment in this time of uncertainty and anxiety. Indeed, if we were to ask what the world most desperately needs, one answer we might want to give is peace. We might think of the people of Idlib in Syria, living daily in the midst of violent conflict, where parents dream of peace while living the nightmare of war, and some children know no other reality than homelessness, insecurity, and fear. Of course, we may think of all those affected by the coronavirus, those who are seriously sick, those who are isolated and fearful, those who are bereaved, and unable even to hold funerals in some places. For a variety of reasons, many people in our world live with fear and insecurity rather than peace. Even without the coronavirus bringing so many additional anxieties, no doubt all of us at times have lived with tensions in our own families and working relationships where the peace we yearn for seems elusive. And if we are honest, we may also have to admit that we are not even at peace with ourselves very often. It can be hard to make peace with our past failures and regrets, or to find peace in facing fears and insecurities about the future. The need for peace comes in all shapes and sizes, but fundamental to all other forms of peace is our need as human beings for peace with God. God has created us to be in a relationship of love with him. So as St. Augustine prays, our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you. In our New Testament reading today from Romans, Paul speaks of peace with God. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is our peace, not just with one another, but also more fundamentally with God. In the earlier chapters of Romans, Paul has outlined how as human beings we have alienated ourselves from God through self-centered and destructive attitudes and actions. But God has acted to bring us back into relationship with himself through the death and resurrection of Christ. So now we stand in grace, in love and acceptance, drawn back into peace with God through Christ. We were created for relationship with God, and we look forward to the glorious fulfillment of that relationship. Paul says we exult, that's a better translation than we boast, we exult in our hope of sharing in the glory of God. Our destiny as human beings is to finally realise our potential to be like Christ and to share in God's loving and glorious nature. Everything in ourselves, in our world, that is presently so flawed, messed up, alienated and lost, painful and imperfect, will be redeemed, healed and restored. But Paul, then, after holding out that vision of a glorious future, brings us sharply down to earth. He speaks of us also exulting in our sufferings. We may well recoil in horror from these words. Doesn't that sound disturbingly masochistic? But perhaps these words help us distinguish between false peace and true peace. Peace with God is not a matter of nice, comfortable feelings, or living in a protected bubble, safe from the sufferings of the world. Jesus didn't live in such a way. Indeed, he entered fully into the suffering of the world and took that suffering upon himself. Our peace doesn't depend on pleasant external circumstances, on everything going well for us. True peace comes when we trust by faith that God loves us and holds us in that love, whatever our circumstances, and this includes suffering. Indeed, by God's grace, suffering can even deepen and strengthen our trust in him so that we grow in hope, love, and peace. Now, none of us wants to suffer. We all want to escape suffering if we can. Yet at the same time, we may be aware that much of what we know of love and patience, compassion, strength, courage, and hope in our own lives and in the lives of others has been learnt through suffering. The writer to the Hebrews says that Christ himself learnt obedience through what he suffered. Paul here in Romans declares, suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Of course, not necessarily. Suffering is not always fruitful. We all know that suffering can lead to bitterness, anger, hardness of heart, cynicism, despair, and loss of faith. But it can also produce endurance, perseverance and patience, new strength and compassion. Our character can grow and mature through suffering. And this, paradoxically, can deepen our hope in God rather than leading us to despair. And I'm sure many people here could testify to this in their own lives. And perhaps that can encourage us as we face the challenges and sufferings of this present time. Paul is keen to emphasize that the hope we learn through suffering is not an illusory hope. He says, "For hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Our hope and our peace come from the love of God poured out into our hearts." Suffering may sometimes help us know our need. It may sharpen our desire to persevere in trust and cast ourselves on God's mercy. But in the end, peace, hope, and love are all gifts. We cannot manufacture such love or hope or peace in our lives, but we can receive them as gifts from God. God's love is poured out into our hearts. We yearn, we thirst for hope and love and peace, and it is God's will to give us these gifts in abundance. Not a little trickle, but an endless, life-giving stream. In our gospel reading, Jesus promises the Samaritan woman by the well living water. He knows that she needs more than the ordinary water drawn up from the well. She also needs forgiveness, acceptance, and spiritual life. Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, Jesus says. But those who drink of the water I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. Jesus promises the woman eternal life. Life which begins now in relationship with the living God, but also goes on forever. The love which God pours out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit is also the gift of life. For God's love and God's life are bound up together. And we receive God's love and God's life through the resurrection, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. God proves his love for us Paul says, through Jesus' death on the cross. When he dies, even for his enemies, those who mock him, taunt him, those who deny him. None of us are worthy of God's love. We don't earn it by our goodness and respectability. God's love is costly, but it is freely given. He loves us simply because he loves us, and through his own utter self-giving, he brings us back to himself through Christ. Life is fragile and uncertain, and we are all particularly aware of that at this moment. More and more day by day, as we listen about and we hear about the extent of the virus and its consequences, and it all becomes clearer. For us, this will be our last service together for several weeks. I hope we shall still encourage one another and support one another by ringing one another up, by sending messages. And I will certainly continue to send messages of prayers, reflections, intercessions online. Yes, life is fragile and uncertain. But the one certainty is God's love for us, seen in the cross of Christ. The peace, hope, and love we have in God are eternal. Let us remind ourselves of the life and love which God freely offers us, the love and life which is poured out into our hearts now and will one day completely fill us forever. We don't often perhaps think of eternal life, but maybe now is a good time to remind ourselves that this life is not all there is. Let us live as those who believe in the resurrection and find our peace and our hope in that which is true and enduring rather than that which is uncertain and insecure. I pray that we will all seek God in the challenges and insecurities of this present time, that we will learn and grow through this experience and discover a new peace with God, a strengthened hope for the future, and the certainty of his abundant love for us now and always. Peace be with you.